Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires for good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. But high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and his place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
What is the key to all of life? The answer may surprise you. It is to praise the Lord. That is why we were made. That the human being, the whole purpose in life is to praise God and to enjoy a relationship with him. And this psalm begins in a very unusual way. It begins with a sermon preached to yourself. Have you ever preached a sermon to yourself? It's a great thing to do because there's a lot of stuff going on in our heads. Negative self-talk. A lot of anxiety comes from the things that are between our ears, the things that we dwell on, the things that we ruminate over. And what this psalm is telling us is we need to focus and meditate on God, and there's an explosion of joy when we do that. In all circumstances. Do you find that hard to believe? Every time I preach, I am telling you something that I have been learning quite recently. And there's layers upon layers, but God has been teaching me these last few weeks about how I need to rejoice in him more and worry less. And as I've tried to do that, some mornings I've woken up with the words, rejoice. It's the first thing that comes into my head. And I start thinking about God. Praise the Lord, O my soul. What is the soul? It is the center of our whole being, which is either at ease or there's disease. It's either a sense of well-being or a sense of angst. How is it with your soul this morning? Our soul is so important. It cannot be precisely located by science, but we have been created by God. We have been created for God. And if we are living our lives disconnected from him, our souls will be thirsty. Our souls will not be at ease. And this psalm is beginning and ending with, "Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name." There was a man who lived around 1871. He had a funny name, Horatio Spafford. There's not many people got names like that today, is there? He lost everything financially in the great Chicago fire of 1871. Destroyed his home, he had no insurance, and his wife and four daughters went across the Atlantic in 1873, and he received a telegram from his wife, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" He went out in a boat to the place where the other boat sank, and he wrote this hymn, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." This psalm has got good news for the soul. This psalm helps us to praise God in two ways. First of all, by telling us more about who God is. And, you know, all this religious language this morning, you maybe hear, what's he on about? What's this guy on about? He's talking about praising God. I don't even know who God is. I don't even think about God. Well, the good news is that God thinks about you. You don't know anything about God, but God knows everything about you. And God wants you to know him, and he reveals himself. And this psalm is telling us what God is like, so that at the end of this psalm, if we haven't at the beginning, we will respond in praise. The other reason why it's hard to praise God is that we forget him. In Hebrew parallel poetry, it says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name." And then underneath, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." The reason why we find it hard to rejoice and to praise in the Lord as believers is because we have forgotten him. Now, the word forget and the word remember in the Bible is not like we forgot he existed. But it's a deeper thing. It's a forgetting where life is to be found. What is remembering? Remembering is when something fills your consciousness that it affects every part of your life. So when this psalm says, rejoice and praise God, and the way to do that is to remember him, it's saying, put God at the center of your thoughts, at the center of your life, at the center of every decision. Trust in him in all your ways. The New Testament tells us that the original sin is to forget God and to be ungrateful. Adam and Eve had everything. They didn't forget that God existed. They just made choices which displayed that God was no longer the center of their lives. In Jeremiah, it says that you have dug cisterns that hold no water, broken cisterns where there is no water of life. But the most famous example of forgetting God is hinted at in verse 7. Because in verse 7 of the psalm, it says, God made known his ways to Moses. And of course, we're going through Exodus on Sunday mornings. And yes, this is still on Exodus, because right behind all the verses of this psalm is the great story of deliverance from Egypt. deliverance through the Red Sea, been given the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments which no one has improved upon in 3,500 years. Nobody has improved on the Ten Commandments. And if that is not a reason for reading and respecting God's word, I don't know what is. Have you improved on the Ten Commandments? But you know, while Moses was receiving the Ten Commandments from God, the very people who had been delivered from Egypt, who had seen all these great miracles, they said, "Where's this guy gone? Where's this fellow got to? We haven't seen him for a few days. Let's take off our jewelry. Let's make our own God." And they made a golden calf. So while Moses is receiving the Ten Commandments, God says to Moses, the people down below are worshiping the gods of Egypt. "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And some of you might be thinking, well, that's very primitive. These primitive people bowing down to a golden calf. We don't do that. But Jesus said that that money can become an idol. Is that an issue in our society today? The love of money? In the center of our consciousness, what is driving the whole of our lives? And it could be something else that takes the place of God. It could be something else that we choose in place of God. And that is the root of sin, which separates us from our Creator. So the big question at this point in the story is, how is God going to respond? How is going to God respond to people who have forgotten him, who have rebelled against him? What's God going to do next? And this is the good news. The good news for our soul in verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. That is the high point of revelation of the whole of the Old Testament. This is what God is like. People say, "I don't want to believe in God, this smiting, judgmental, out of date God." But if you read the story in context, in Exodus 34, you see that God, yes, he is a judge. Yes, he punishes. But his overwhelming, you know, his anger is on a safety lock and his mercy and grace is on a hair trigger. His anger is on a safety lock and his mercy and grace is on a hair trigger. That is the balance of God presented in this psalm. And yet, in the original reading in Exodus 34, when God said to Moses, Moses said, "Tell me what you're like, God. Show me your glory." And God said, "Mercy and grace. That is the main thing. But I'm merciful. I'm gracious. I'm slow to anger. I'm abounding in steadfast love. But I will not leave the guilty unpunished." And so we're left with this huge problem, this huge question. How can God be both a forgiving God and a holy God who is perfect and who is just? How can he be forgiving and punishing at the same time? And that is why we need the whole Bible and not just part of the Bible, because God spoke to us through Moses and through the law, but then God sent his only Son, Jesus, who is the exact representation of God. Philip said to Jesus, "Show us the Father, And that will be enough for us. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And on the cross, Jesus died as part of God's plan. And on the cross, God's character is revealed. God who hates sin but loves the sinner. God who cannot be in fellowship, a holy God, with a sinful people. But because Jesus took the judgment in our place, God condemned sin in Jesus that we might be set free, that we might have relationship with God. So God is not an airy-fairy, feel-good God who just gives you half the story. And we could read this as God always forgives. It doesn't matter how I live. He's going to forgive anyway. That is not gratitude. That is rank ingratitude. To not look at what God has done and what it cost him to reconcile us to himself. If we knew what it cost God to die on the cross for us, we would not be complacent. And you see, in this passage, it talks about the fear of the Lord. Look at this with me. First of all, talking about the height, verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. I think of that children's story, Guess How Much I Love You. Do you know that story? It's a big hare and a little hare, and the big hare saying to the little hare, guess how much I love you. And the story ends with, I love you to the moon and back. The distance is, it's immeasurable, the depth of my love and mercy for you. And that is the magnitude of God's love for us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. God's patience. Anyone who's parents here today know that we love our children unconditionally, but not as much as God loves us. He is so long-suffering. He is so patient. He is the God of infinite chances. And that's why in our house, if you come in our front door, there's a picture of the prodigal son going back to the father and receiving his embrace. God knows how we are formed. God knows we're weak. You know, this psalm is like the hymn which says, Father-like, he tends and spares us. Well our feeble frame he knows. In his arms he gently bears us. In his arms he gently bears us and rescues us from all our foes. What it would be like to receive the embrace, return to God and receive his embrace and know his protection against all fears in this life. The only fear that we should pay attention to is the need to fear the Lord, because these promises are for those who fear the Lord. What does to fear the Lord mean? It means to remember him, to respect him. The English does not work very well. It's so much more beautiful. It's like a sense of awe. It's a sense of, Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood and your loving care. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me. What mercy! What mercy! That's what it means to be in awe of God, to fear him, and to say, I want to obey him. I want to listen to his way. He is the way. He shows his way to me, and I will trust him, and I will follow him, and I will trust in his word. It says here, finishes with a promise. It says, and this psalm only works through the lens of Jesus. He forgives all our sins. Ultimately, he overcomes even death itself and gives us total healing and eternal life. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit of hell and brings you to the height of heaven. He satisfies you with goodness, which is himself. And he renews your life like the eagle. Thinking about that eagle soaring, flying. He has flight. He has sight. He has might. And he has fight. We can have flight if we trust in the Lord, to depend on him. We have that might to have his strength every day. We can have that strength, and that sight, the vision of God. Moses said, show me, show me, show me, show me. And God said, no, you can only see a little, but listen, I will tell you what I'm like. And in Jesus Christ, we have this vision of God, which is perfectly just and perfectly merciful and gracious. So these words to finish. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love. May God help us to return to him. May God root us in his love. And may he give us that renewal like the eagle to soar for him, to live for him, which is life to the full. Let us pray. The words of an old hymn. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Calls for songs of loudest praise. Lord, we look back and we remember. We say, hither by your help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus, you sought me when I was a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. You rescued me from danger. You died for me with your precious blood. Lord, I need your grace, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to forget you, prone to leave the God I love. Jesus, here's my heart. Take it and seal it. Seal it for all eternity. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.